Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for joining us at this edition of Coach's Corner with your host, Coach Andrew Poretz, a 2007 graduate of the International Coach Academy. We are excited to offer the first ever Biz Richmond ICA Alumni Telesummit, where six alumni have come together to create community. Make sure you attend each live event for a business experience worth having. Sponsored by the Living Consciously Education Program and Biz Richmond. Now, here's Coach Andrew.
Welcome to Coach's Corner and the final session of the International Coach Academy Graduate Summit. If you're listening live and you have a question, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. You'll be able to listen to the show on the phone, and if you press the number 1, I'll know you have a question. We also have a live chat room right in the show page where you can feel free to join in. Normally, this is where I introduce my guest, but tonight the tables have been turned, and I am my own guest. Here to interview me tonight is Jen Brocklin, a fellow ICA graduate who was also my guest last week when we discussed building a kick-ass website. Jen, are you with me?
I am. Thank you for having me tonight, Andrew.
My pleasure. So here's where you get to introduce me.
Yeah, I'm going to start. Coach Andrew Poretz from Ingenuity Coaching, the host of Coach's Corner on Blog Talk Radio, helps people to discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. His mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with his coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit his website at myfuturecoach.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/CoachAndrew. Tonight, I'm going to be talking to Coach Andrew about building an online presence, and I invite everyone listening to give us a call and ask your questions right along with me. So, Coach Andrew, I really enjoyed my chat with you last week, and I've enjoyed what I've been able to hear of the other ICA presenters this week.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for hosting us. And I'm really excited to be able to turn the tables on you and find out some more about you as a coach and as an entrepreneur and just more about you in general. So
sure.
I would kind of like to start with that. What do you do as a coach now?
What do I do as a coach now is when I coach people, I work, I've had different types of clients, but my favorite kind of client to have is somebody who's in transition from corporate America to entrepreneurship or in some other way fulfilling a much bigger dream than, say, working 9 to 5 for the man.
Mm.
Well, the woman.
What drew you to that area?
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. What drew you to that particular area, or what draws you into that? What makes that so exciting for you?
Well, I think that for me, it's something I've always thought would be a great place to be, is to have your own business. And a lot
mm-hmm.
of people you know, have dreams of having their own business, or they have their dreams of being independent in what they're doing. And you know, my dad, for example, when I was a little kid, my dad worked in a job in the public relations field, and I remember him just really being frustrated, and he couldn't wait to find a way not to do that. And then eventually, he started his own business in the PR and the promotion field, and eventually had a publishing company. And it all started from this, you know, the desire not to be tied into somebody like that, not
oh.
wanting to work for somebody else. So I find
uh-huh.
that exciting.
I understand, because that's kind of the field that I'm in too, so I really enjoy that part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to be a coach?
How did I come to be a coach? Well, it started for me originally. Now, first of all, let me tell you that I've been involved in what's called the personal growth and development arena, certainly as a participant for many, many years. You know, I started taking trainings, transformational courses, things of that nature, going back as early as really 1979, but my first big one was in the early 80s. And when I was introduced to this work, it really started to transform how I look at the world, some of the ways of being that I had really opened me up to so many different possibilities. And eventually, you know, I started to become very good at some of the tools that I learned, not only from myself, but with other people. And one day, I had a friend of mine who I used to talk to online on AOL, back in the days of chat rooms.
Yeah.
And I had a friend of mine, I had never met her, but we chatted online. She was in her late 50s and looking for a career change. And one day, and she lived in Arizona. And she asked me, what do you know about life coaching? I think I made it up in my mind that I knew something about it, but I really didn't know much about it. And I said, why do you ask? She said, I'm looking for a career change. And she had been a businesswoman and had various successes in her life, but she was looking for something new. She said, would you do me a favor? Take a look at this website for me, and let me know if you think that this might be something for me to pursue. And I believe the name of the website was Become a Coach. And it was run by a guy named David Wood, and who's an Australian fellow. And he said he got his coach training from Landmark Education, which I'm a big fan of. I took a lot of Landmark courses over the years. And I was very intrigued by the website because what he was talking about was what I do all the time. In other words, how I am with people, the skills that I use, the things that I use in dealing with people turned out to be things that coaches use. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If I'm reading this correctly, I could be paid to be me. This is kind of intriguing. So I was like really interested in that. And as it turns out, my friend who first introduced me to the site decided not to pursue coaching. But I became a subscriber to David Wood's email, his newsletters. And it was just something I kept on looking at and looking at and looking at. And then one day, he was talking about the school that he had co-founded, which happened to be ICA, had just become accredited by the International Coach Federation. He said, you know, even though he's no longer involved with the school, he really thinks it's a great school. And he said, this might be a good time for you to get on board if that's what you're looking to do. And there was an article about various different other coaching schools and the kind of costs that were involved in doing it. And some of them were pretty expensive. And then I started asking for feedback from some of the people I knew who knew me in the way that would really matter. You know, do you think this is for me? Do you think I should do this? You know, what do you think? I was asking around. And overwhelmingly, the feedback was, this is great. You should just, you know, do it. Just jump on it. And I got into a conversation with a fellow in Australia who was one of the people running the school. His name is Dennis Griffin. And by the end of the call, I pulled out my credit card, and I just jumped in and started. And that was in 2005. And it took me about 2 years to complete the program. I know that you can complete ICA in 9 months, or you can complete it in 2 or 3 years, and it took me 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the long answer to your question.
No, that's great. Great. I think it's funny how so many of us coaches find that to be very true, that, you know, once we start learning about coaching, whether it's life coaching or business coaching or anything in between, that we tend to discover that these are traits that we already have. You know, they're things that we value in other people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we tend to be drawn to it maybe because that's who we already are. So you signed up with ICA, and then you graduated, and you started being a coach, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's probably not super easy for starting out. So part of what you're going to talk to us about tonight is how to build that presence and how to build the presence specifically online using several different social media type apps.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned probably the top three, and I'd really like to start with those.
Sure.
And maybe hear how you have used those. So let's start with what they are, and then maybe we can hear a little bit about how you've used them to help build up your business
mm-hmm.
and get known.
Okay, great. Well, you know, the top three, and I these are really like the big kahunas. There are a lot right now, a lot of social media apps. Every day something else comes out. There's so many alternatives. But the ones that I at the moment, you know, and by the way, this can change at any time. Right now, Facebook is the biggest, you know, pretty much the biggest portal out there. But just, you know, 5 years ago, it was MySpace. Today, nobody's on MySpace unless you're, you know, very, you know, they're a musician or something. I still have an account there, but I check it like once a year. So there's Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And, you know, and it's very interesting to note, just a few years ago, these things did not exist at all, and now they're amazingly big. And yet, even though they're very big, the truth is, we don't know that what's going to be big in 5 years. But right now, those are the biggies. Those are the ones that you could really say are probably the three most important things to be on.
Right. Yeah, even my mom is on Facebook, and that's like, that's saying something. So, yeah, it's definitely one of the biggest ones. So how have you utilized social media to, you know, to really start getting yourself known as a coach?
Well, I've used, you know, several of the tools, including Facebook, Twitter, YouTube to a certain extent. That's actually something I'm really looking to build more with. And also things like Blog Talk Radio itself, which is very a useful tool for somebody in our business. And so I've used Facebook to really be able to connect to lots of different people to create relationships with, you know, of course, one of my favorite things about Facebook is that you could become, reconnect with anybody from any part of your life. And to the point that it's actually almost, one of my favorite things to say is that I now have more high school friends than I ever had in high school.
Yeah, I kind of have that issue too. I didn't know, well, after high school I kind of split from where I lived and, you know, moved on, and I wasn't very close with a lot of those people. But now, yeah, a lot of them are my friends on Facebook. I wouldn't say we're necessarily close, but, you know, we're all still in contact a little bit.
Well, I actually have, like friends that I spend time with that I didn't even know growing up or, like, knew of. And I'll tell you, I'm this close to being accepted into a clique. It's one of my goals here. I'm really hoping I get to sit at the lunch table with the cool kids at some point. It's really something I aspire to.
You know, that's so funny because high school was a little traumatic for me in that way, you know, not being in the cool crowd and, you know, all of that. So I really don't want to revisit that.
Yeah, I was definitely not among the cool kids.
Yeah, I was one of the artsy fartsy kids, so, you know, I kind of got along with everybody, but, you know, I don't miss having cliques and stuff like that, so.
Right. I probably still can't get into a clique, but, you know, maybe if I have a press pass or something, I can.
Yeah, there you go.
I can get into one. But anyway, so I've used that not only to, you know, connect with lots and lots of people, but I started to do things. You know, a recent change on Facebook, which has been very interesting, is something called subscriptions, which allows people to connect to people without necessarily being friends. And it's sort of like a one-sided, it can be a one-sided relationship. Like Twitter, for example, if you're on Twitter, you can follow people. You could be if you're a very well-known person, you may have millions of people following you on Twitter, which is, you know, for the normal person, that's probably not going to happen if you're not actually, you know, usually famous. But there's like, it's mostly a one-sided thing, and the subscription thing on Facebook basically allows people to subscribe to what they call your public updates, meaning that you allow people who are not necessarily your friends, you allow anybody to see. And this can greatly increase the base of people who know who you are. And you could choose to make it, by the way, you could choose to make it a two-sided thing. In other words, like, the way I've set it up, I allow people who are not friends of mine but who subscribe to me to comment on things that I've made public. Now, some people, for example, Mark Zuckerberg, who probably has 15 million Facebook subscribers, But if he says something, you can't comment on it. You could like it, but
right.
That's it.
So in this way, does that kind of make somebody's Facebook feed more like a blog feed where people can watch and read and but not necessarily react to that particular person's comments?
Well, the reaction may come in the form of, first of all, even if you can't comment, you could still click the like button, and you can also share.
Okay.
So sometimes,
oh, okay.
You know, when you click like or you share, that also opens up to who's going to see that particular piece of stream.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So you might
sure.
say something very interesting and funny and witty, and five other people who are not subscribers or who are not friends might see that and then click on subscribe to this fellow.
Okay. Interesting. So it's a good tool to use to expand your reach.
Yes, and you do need to be, you know, conscious of what you're putting out there. You need to know that if you make something public, that means, and you've set your privacy that way, people can see it. So I will, if I'm going to say something that I don't want the whole world to see, I use all kinds of friend lists and things like that to limit particular posts. But things that
mm-hmm.
I want the world to see, or if I want to make an impact, if I want to promote myself or I want to promote somebody else, if I just want to say something funny, which is a lot of the time, that that's one of the ways I'll do it.
Yeah,
and
great.
I have not yet really gotten to some of the other things you could do with Facebook besides having subscribers is you can set up what are called fan pages or Facebook pages
right. That
allow you to really broaden your base and that's almost like a website.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
could actually create them very similar to a website if you know what you're doing, which I, by the way, do not.
That's okay. Well, the other way that I see having fan pages or business pages is it's maybe a little bit easier way to separate your business from your personal life
mm-hmm.
if you use Facebook for both.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you can, you know, only post things on one page and not your personal stream. So
right.
I think that kind of helps separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
So you also mentioned Twitter. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know, several years ago when I – actually, before I became a coach, I was doing another Blog Talk Radio show, actually, on a regular basis. And I used Twitter very, very successfully to, reach a bigger audience.
Mm-hmm.
It was very niche-specific for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really great. But then since I have switched, I find Twitter to be – a little overwhelming. So I'm really curious to know how you've used it.
Well, first of all, I'd like to hear how is it overwhelming to you?
I guess maybe it's like there's too much to see. The stream goes by too fast. It's not as easy for me, I think, to go back and look and see. And maybe it's also a little less personal. Maybe that's how I'm seeing it too. You know, 140 characters doesn't seem to be enough for me to get involved.
Well, you know, you might think that, and yet Twitter has really made a profound impact on the world, and a lot of people are trying to figure out how is that so, and yet it's happening. And there's because people can really tap into these conversations with the use of things like hashtags, where you could really
mm-hmm.
Follow all kinds of trends. I mean, you look no further than the Arab Spring, what happened
yeah.
in the world, and that was largely to do with Twitter, and millions of people and engaging in something and using the tools of Twitter. And a lot of the tools of Twitter came about from people figuring out ways. Twitter didn't even create that. You know, Twitter never came up with, for example, the hashtag. That was somebody came up with that, a user,
mm-hmm.
and it became
mm-hmm.
so popular that eventually Twitter said, "Oh, this is really great." Well, now that's part of Twitter. So a lot of these things that even the at saying at somebody, That wasn't part of the original Twitter. That was somebody figured out that's a good way to say hello to somebody or refer to somebody. And now it's absolutely a part of it. It's a very huge part of it.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm just saying what I was hearing when you were talking about that was how social media in general, but especially Twitter, really listens to its users and then adapts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, you know, that we as users can use that to our advantage. You know, if we can come up with something to help expand our reach, then we should use it, and eventually, you know, it may catch on.
Now you also, there's a lot of combination. A lot of things get combined. Like when you tweet, you can make your tweets appear on Facebook, for example. And there's various things you could use, like pictures. You can attach little, you know, links that go to some other sites. So you may only have a few words of introduction, but it leads you to an article, or it leads you to a web page, or it leads you to some other conversation. And there's a cumulative effect. And that's one of the things. It's sort of like a compound effect. So when you think it's only 140 characters, you're really not seeing everything that's happening. And a lot of, you know, people are seeing, you know, what can we put together to make this much more powerful? And it's actually created, there's some sort of brevity and terseness in some ways, but it also has created all these little portals. And by the way, an interesting thing is, I'm sure you know who Steve Martin is, the actor, comedian, banjo player extraordinaire. His tweets are so good and so consistently funny and right on that a book was made of just his tweets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can go to Amazon and find Steve Martin's book on tweets. I mean, it's not a book about tweets. It's just his tweets because they're that good.
It's just his tweets. Wow. I will have to look that up.
And sometimes you'll see, you know, I like to follow, there's a few really amazing people of that you know, genre of comic genius that engage with him, like Albert Brooks, you know, Steve Martin, and a couple of other fellows whose names just went out of my head. But sometimes they're talking amongst each other, like in public, and it's I don't think they planned this out. Oh, Gary Shandling, that's another guy.
And
they're all sort of like, they just talk to each other in these, and it's like watching live comedy in slow motion. it's hysterical. Now, one of the things, like you said, about it being overwhelming, there are all these kinds of tools out there to allow you to manage what you're saying. You know, like Tweetcaster, for example. There's various applications, whether it's for your phone or your computer, that will allow you to really hone in on what it is you want to see and see what kind of conversations are going on and participate where you want, have multiple accounts if you need to, because you could have multiple accounts depending on what you're doing.
Sure. But I think that leads to another question about the whole process, though, is how do you actually connect with those other people? You know, I mean, if there's that much going on, and like you've said earlier, some people, mostly celebrities, are going to have hundreds or thousands of people that, you know, they're following or that are following them. How do you make that connection, you know, with one person at a time? Because that's really, I think, how especially we as coaches, you know, get clients, or we make the connection with people and get them interested in what we do and attract them, you know, in some way.
Well, you know, I don't look at this as a way to, you know, how am I going to get individual clients? I'm looking to increase my exposure and how I'm perceived, because when somebody, you know, what's the first thing you do when you meet somebody now?
I don't know.
Well,
that's a good question.
You Google them. That's what you do.
Oh,
that's
okay,
pretty
sure.
Much the first thing. Like when I meet somebody, you know, and I'm a single guy, so if I meet somebody, I know they're going to do it to me. If I meet somebody, the first thing that a woman's going to do is see what Google has to say about me. I will do it about them as well. This is so if I learn about a new interesting person, if I want to do business with somebody, I'm probably going to go online and see, who is this person? What do people say about them? What do you know about them? What's the truth? And you get a truth from a larger picture. Like, you may not get it from any one thing, because anybody can say anything. But as you look at a larger picture, that's why the bigger your presence, the more likely somebody's going to walk away with a certain feeling. Even if there could be a couple of even not so great ones, it might be somebody, you know, had something bad to say. But if you have enough good things to say, that's what people are going to walk away with. Oh, that guy looks like somebody I might want to talk to. So that's a big part of it. Now, you know, of course, as you're building towards something, like, one of my goals is to be somebody who goes out and speaks and trains, and when you look at the kinds of people who do that, their world is not about, let me get a client. Their world is about, let me do these bigger things, and clients will come from the things they do.
Right.
You know, sort of like you're turning around like that sales funnel. At the lower end, you may be dealing with, how do I get a client? How many clients do I want to have? And that's where you're always looking, you know, closing one-on-one kinds of arrangements. But in the bigger picture, you're looking at creating something bigger. That's not where the focus is. So for me, the focus is not on how many clients will I get out of doing this. My focus is on, how can I be known to people as somebody that they'd like to know, that I might like to do business with, I might really like to have a conversation with.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective and a great way to explain it, too. You know, I know a lot of people come to me and they're like, I don't understand how to use social media. And, you know, so that's a really great way to explain it, I think, is to show the two different perspectives of it. So do you do any speaking?
I've done some speaking, yes. It's not yet a big part of what I'm doing, but that's where I'm leading to.
Cool.
And I am, by the way, I am also a performer. I'm somebody who has gotten up in front of large crowds, and I'm funny, and I sing. And so I've done performing. And
In fact,
my singing voice is in a movie that you could rent.
Well, and I just saw in the comment section that somebody mentioned that. You want to tell me a little bit about that? I'm curious now.
Sure. Many, 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 many moons ago, you know, in a galaxy far, far away, I had a I had a little act in the village in New York, and I used to get up and sing with, you know, either with or before the set with bands, big bands, and dance shows, and sometimes all by myself, and I would just get up and perform. And I stopped doing that in the mid-90s, and 4 or 5 years later, I got a call out of the blue from a fellow who knew my voice from those days, and I'll give him credit, because he's a somewhat well-known musical guy, comedian, actor named Cody Mundy. And so Cody called me up, and he asked me, you know, you're an Italian singer, right? And I say, hey, what's the matter for you? You know, I'm not an Italian singer, but what are you talking about? But don't you sing the old Italian songs? I said, what? And it's because I would sing, you know, the Sinatra stuff. And in fact, the highlight of my little act was I would wind up doing a duet of Elvis and Sinatra, and I would do both parts at the same time, so it was kind of insane. And so Cody said, well, there's this movie. My friend of mine is a music supervisor. Would you? They're desperate for somebody who can sing the old Italian songs. They're looking for a guy who could match this guy's singing voice. And I think, in my head, I think you might be the right guy. So it was totally out of the blue, and I went down and took an audition. The audition was I sang into a tape recorder a cappella, and the next thing you know, I'm the guy. And I recorded 4 songs, 3 of which were used for this movie called Two Family House, and it's all these actors from The Sopranos.
That was neat.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, The Sopranos wasn't even out yet. I mean, they were just in their first season or whatever. So a lot of these people weren't yet well known. But it was really, really exciting. I sang for a guy named Michael Rispoli. And that's my 5 minutes. I didn't even get 15 minutes out of it. But 5 minutes of fame.
That's very cool. So,
yeah.
Karen asked if that if that exposure, if that gig in particular, somehow helped you build your media presence, or has it in some way prepared you for building the media presence that you have now?
I would say more preparing me for it. It hasn't really been a majorly impactful, you know, it's one little piece. I mean, I have like an IMDb credit, you know, which is kind of fun. And it's also it's helped me because that got me into the Screen Actors Guild, which I'm not really doing. I'm not pursuing a career in acting whatsoever, but I get to meet mm-hmm. some of the most interesting people on the planet sometimes because of that. I get to go to a lot of events. So that's, you know, so if, like on my Facebook page, I have pictures of me with several well-known, you know, movie stars.
Oh, wow. Wow. So just from one little piece, from one little bit of your career,
mm-hmm.
it expands in other ways. And you can take bits and pieces from that and use it in other parts of your life and other parts of your career, right?
Sure. I mean, everything moves you forward towards that. You know, so it's in the higher, grander scheme of things, it's all part of becoming known. So my
mm-hmm.
focus is not on being known from that thing, which I did, you know, in 1999.
Right.
And that's just not – that's just this one thing I did. That's not the focus. But it does help.
Right.
Every little piece, you know, cumulatively helps if you start looking at, like, where are you on Google? What kind of Google ranking
mm-hmm.
do you have? How many hits with your name are there? You know, where do you come up? You know, one thing about me, even though there must be a gazillion people who call themselves Coach Andrew, and there's even somebody who has CoachAndrew.com, because I didn't move quickly enough on it,
mm-hmm.
and yet I always come up to the in the top page. If you type
mm-hmm.
Coach Andrew, you're going to find me in the first handful of hits, often in the very first spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I'm out
mm-hmm.
there very actively creating it. And by the way, the CoachAndrew.com, that's some basketball coach or something. It's nothing to do with our kind
yeah.
of coaching.
Right, right. So getting around and having been around the block a few times actually helps you.
Sure.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what I'm taking away from what you were telling us is, even though it's not related to what you do now, what I was hearing from it is you're performing, even in a small way, in small venues, all by yourself, that led to somebody else recognizing you and remembering you
mm-hmm.
and going back to you for help later. And I think that's a good way for us coaches to build up our presence as well. Being out there, whether we're performing or not,
mm-hmm.
You know, lets people get to know us better. And then they come to us later when they, you know, recognize that they need some help with something.
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, when you're looking for somebody and you need help with something, you're going to start to think, who do I know that does this thing? And it's going to
mm-hmm.
be somebody who has created some memorable reason for you to remember them. And preferably because there's an ongoing relationship, because people tend to work with people they like and know and trust. And so
right.
one of the things, with creating, for example, web pages, one of the reasons, the biggest reason that people have contact forms on their website is because you want to start a relationship with people who come to your site, because they may never find you again. They may never think of you again. But you now have a little bit of control to start initiating a relationship with people. And you could do that. That's with Facebook, you're initiating
mm-hmm.
a relationship. Twitter, you're initiating a relationship. YouTube, you can have subscribers on YouTube. And by the way, let's talk about YouTube, because that is one of the biggest things that people can get involved with. It doesn't take rocket science. It doesn't take a lot of equipment. You could do it on any kind of a camera. And if you look on YouTube, you know, it amazes me what's on there, because you could find almost anything you can think of. You could learn almost anything you want to learn. But what's possible with YouTube, and some of it you really, like, I don't, there's no science that I know of to do something called making it viral.
Uh-huh.
But making it viral is like, if you could create something that goes what they call viral, which means – Viral just means it's like it's spread by people, just like a disease, right? But it's a good good disease usually.
Right.
You could spread these things. You can share them, and that those people share them, and those people share them, and that could be, you know, with almost anything. And now you look. There's, in fact, I have two words for you that will describe the power of YouTube, and that is Justin Bieber.
Exactly.
Justin Bieber was this little kid who made these little homemade videos, and I think his mom put them on YouTube, and the right person saw them. I mean, they weren't looking for the right people. They weren't saying, hey, let's make some videos. This kid's so good. Let's make videos, and hopefully a talent agent will see it, and hopefully he'll be, have a million-dollar career. No, it went viral because this kid had a tremendous amount of talent and energy and incredibly adorable. And people said, "Oh, you got to see this! You got to see this kid I saw on YouTube." Well, that kid, he just bought an $8 million house or something in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
as his 18th birthday present to himself.
Exactly.
And that's from YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not even always quite so well known. There are lots and lots and lots of small business owners who use YouTube.
Yes.
Whether they're doing, tutorials or...
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a couple of ladies who do makeup instruction, women's cosmetics, and they have made really big deals with cosmetic companies and other things just because of their YouTube videos. Just because they get out there and they are, and they're picked up by viewers, and the viewers like what they're doing, and they find them interesting or helpful or whatever, and they may not even necessarily go viral, but they build up a really big community through YouTube. So it can be great.
And it's literally like YouTube has given the power of, you could have your own, in essence, your own TV channel that you can create on the spot. You could say, okay, you know what, I would like to have a TV channel. So you could go make up your own shows and put them on YouTube and promote them and get people to subscribe. And by the way, it's going to be a combination of, people seeing it and spreading it, but also, asking the question, what they call call to action. You have to let people know that you exist, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Although it can also happen. I heard of somebody, I wish I could remember exactly what I read the other day, it might have been a record deal or something, some video was seen 100 million times, and they had 2 subscribers. They weren't even trying to create that. It's just that it just took off, because sometimes you just really never know. So there. You got very quiet.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm curious, have you done anything with YouTube yourself?
Well, I haven't done anything with YouTube yet related directly to coaching. That's probably going to be happening pretty soon. I've done local TV, which I have videos of where I can put them online, and those things will wind up on YouTube. I've done more things related to music on YouTube.
Okay.
And there's another site called Vimeo, which is a really good site, because you can do longer videos there and all high def. But now it's not really going to take off, I don't think, the way YouTube is. So YouTube is extremely powerful. But that's, definitely a next step is a YouTube channel.
How do you see using it?
Well, you could use it in all kinds of ways. For one thing, you could intentionally make videos where you say have a little camera set up and you speak into the camera. Typically, you're going to do things that are 5 to 10 minutes, so you're not going to do a lot of long things. It could be even 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, where you may have some tips you want to share. You might it's like the equivalent of having a little show. So if you have to prepare these things. You can't just start talking. So you might have a script. You might do all kinds of things to be ready for it and prepare different topics. Today I'm going to talk to you about, how to do this, how to get past an obstacle, whatever it is that you want to be creating. and then having that as sort of like a message that's on point, that's on in alignment with the things that you're known for. So that's a really great way. There's, like you mentioned, tutorials. There's a woman who teaches social media things, and in particular making making Facebook pages. You know, like, you know what I said? I don't know how to do those complicated pages with a style sheets and all that. Well, there's a woman named J.O. Barnes in England, and she has a whole program, and you could subscribe to, and her videos are mostly videos you could see without needing any kind of special link or password or anything. Mm. She has all sorts of public things, so she has a big channel on YouTube where you could learn quite a bit about how to create that. And by the way, that's something that, and just let me really reiterate that when I said there's so much on YouTube in particular about how to, you can take any topic that like that's related to this. If you want to know, like, how do I do that, you can go and look it up. And almost anything is going to be on a place like YouTube. It could be elsewhere online. It could be eHow, all these different sites. But if you don't have the knowledge, you don't know how to, you can go take a training in it. You can go take a course. You can hire a tutor. You can hire somebody to do it for you. But you can also learn how to do it in your own time online, which is amazing to me. There's almost nothing that, I don't know, building a nuclear reactor is not available. But you want to learn how to take apart an engine. You want to learn how to build a guitar from scratch. You want to learn how to, you name the thing, that it's there, step by step. Even like one of my I'm a big Beatle maniac. I taught myself guitar from Beatles songs. Well, I found there's a whole lot of these little instructions online for Beatles songs. If you want to be able to play a specific song exactly the way it was played, there's somebody who's teaching it to you online for free on YouTube.
Yeah, I can't agree more. That's how I learned how to do a lot of what I learned how to do for my business. Was I spent years of doing my own research and learning through online tutorials of one sort or another.
Mm-hmm.
We have a question in the chat room about YouTube, and I happen to know this answer, but I'm going to ask you too. The question is, can you make YouTube videos private or password protected?
Now, I know about the private ones, but unless they've changed it, they've made it so that you could make it private, but only like 25 people could see it. I don't know if they've changed that or if there's anything else that's available now.
From what I understand, and I make a lot of videos of screencasts so that people can learn how to do things with their websites. You can make things live so that anybody can access it.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it so that only people who receive the direct link to it can see it. So, like, if they just do a search, it won't come up in the search results on YouTube. But if they have a direct link to it, then they can view it. Or you can make it completely private, and you have to actually invite them, I believe.
That's the one that I knew about. But last time I looked, the private ones, like, you can only have a limited number. It was something like 25, which was not that useful.
No, and I'm not sure about that because I don't really use that option. But I do use the direct line option quite a bit, because then, for things that I offer just through my business for clients, I don't want just everybody to be able to see. But yet, it's not set to absolute privacy.
Right.
So, so anybody that I give the link to can see it.
Oh, well, that's
so that's
great to know.
Useful.
That would make it very useful for having a semi-private channel at least of things that, you want to be able to promote specifically to your people, but maybe not have anybody discover.
Yeah, I find it useful for people who have, say, a membership site, and you want to provide them videos of some sort, but only those people in the membership. So you could put the links on a particular page somewhere online, or share it, directly via email, and then only the people with those links can use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm really curious, too, about how Blog Talk Radio or how podcasting, which is what a lot of this online radio or online recordings is called now. So I'm curious about how that has helped you. And mm-hmm. I did get to hear a little bit of the story the other night with, I believe it was Renee, mm-hmm. About how you got into this. And I thought that was so interesting. But I'd really like to hear more about how it's helped you as a coach and where you plan to take this along with the rest of your business for this year.
Sure. And it's almost like you were reading my mind because I had just looked at my notes and I looked at the word podcasting. And if you hadn't said another word, I was going to say, let's talk about podcasting. So podcasting is, you know, they call it podcasting going back to the iPod, of course, which originally was that was where you got basically a little broadcast that you could subscribe to on your iPod via computer. Blog Talk Radio really blew open the doors for this, and there are a lot of different now other types of venues like TalkShoe, I think, is another one. There's a whole bunch of different things that are out there. But Blog Talk Radio basically opens it up to the masses. And what Blog Talk Radio does is it gives you the ability to have like the equivalent of your own little radio station. It's set up like a radio station. Like I have a little screen that I look at that's like a switchboard, literally. And I have people calling in. I can take people on and off. I can put music on. I can have sound effects, et cetera. And I can use all those tools. So it's a live radio show. But what's magical about it is the moment it's done, or within a few minutes after it's done, it becomes an archived podcast. And it becomes a real podcast in the sense that I was able to get my show on iTunes and in the podcast directory, which is like it doesn't automatically happen with Blog Talk Radio. They have a relationship with them, but it's up to the individual to submit it and get it accepted. So that was able to do that. So all my shows, including all the Summit shows as of now, will appear on iTunes. So that's been it's very helpful because people may find me, and I know for a fact that people have found me specifically because they were looking for something, they Googled something, and they wound up on one of my shows. The majority of people who listen to this show are not listening right now. They're listening 6 months from now, a year from now. So, like, you could say hello to the future right now if you'd like to. Hello, future. Greetings from 2012. And, before the Mayan calendar ended, and we don't want to talk about that. But it's very, very sad. But, you know, seriously, so it's really amazing. There was a fellow who listened to my show, and he had some comments about he wanted to know about a book list that I had talked about, and he left a message on my blog about this. And by the way, blogging is another way of becoming known. And so he left a message on my blog. Could you tell me what books were you recommending? And I had to write him a letter because I didn't know what show he was referring to because he didn't mention a specific show, and I've mentioned books on any number of shows. I wrote the fellow a letter, and he said, you know, to be honest with you, I can't tell you which show because I downloaded and consecutively listened to all 61 of your shows, or 63, whatever, however many shows I had done. And, you know, first of all, that blew my mind because that means somebody listened to me for, you know, if they did it entirely one after another, it would have been like they spent their entire week listening to me. I'm sure it wasn't that intense, but I was very impressed. And I said I had to thank him, and I offered him as a gift, just because it really made my day. I offered him, and he accepted a month of coaching.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great example, too, of how planting a seed now can turn into fruit down the line.
Sure.
You know, somebody hears your radio show, somebody finds your blog post, mm-hmm. somebody runs across you on Facebook, and they're like, hey, that's really interesting, I want to know more. And then they get in contact, or they read more, or they listen more, and it can really turn into something from there.
And it's very important, by the way, to really, you know, that word, the seed, very important, because it's really true. I have gotten so many little emails or notes or, you know, requests to connect on LinkedIn or on Facebook and that have gone to other places that started from something that I said a long time ago, whether it was on Blog Talk Radio or on my blog or somewhere else on Twitter. You never know what could happen from something you say now could create a whole new future a long time from now.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Coach Andrew, I want to hear a little bit more about what you're offering for the Telesummit, sorry, that we're offering. I just went completely blank. Welcome to live radio. And I want to hear more about what your offer is, and I want you to go ahead and remind us where we can find you and connect with you a little bit more, too.
Okay, great. I'm glad you asked. And this is something I don't ordinarily do on my show, but this is specifically part of the ICA Graduate Summit. And I, as
the voice of Coach's Corner,
I'm just getting a little dramatic here. I'm offering a special package for our fellow ICA grad students to receive a personal coaching and assessing your current social media reach, getting started with your own radio show and or podcast, determine social media strategies, and here's a really, really big one, be a guest on my show. So this show is not open to just anybody. I don't have anybody, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry call me up and say, I'd like to be in your show. They have to have something of interest to my people, to my audience, and to me. And so anybody who engages in this with me will have the opportunity to be on the show and be promoted and be prepared, if we will work together to make sure you have plenty to offer as a guest on my show. And that is a huge thing, because one of the things I will tell you that I have found from doing Blog Talk Radio, I have been able to attach my name to all kinds of people who are very well known. And that's one of my strategies for becoming known, is being known because I am associated with other people who are well known. So I've had some major players who have been on my show. Well, so you might see my name when you Google them. So that's one of the things, that's a strategy in and of itself. So we're going to have a special alumni 72-hour offer. And by the way, another thing that this does come with, anybody who engages in this offer will also get 50% off of any coaching package that I have available of my ordinary, not so ordinary, but my regular coaching.
That sounds great.
And they could let me tell you, that offer for the 50% off, that will be for the entire year. So once they say yeah, anytime they want to take that on, that's good for all of 2012. And to do that, you go to www.livingconsciouslyeducation.com, register and fill out the form, and you'll get an offer directly in your email. And this is a 72-hour bonus offer that ends April 11th at 8 p.m.
That all sounds really interesting to me, actually. I am curious, so we can cover this a couple more questions as well,
mm-hmm.
Specifically about being on your show. What kinds of people are you looking for to be guests?
Well, my ideal guest, you know, I started out as, I call Coach's Corner, and the idea was a conversation among coaches, or between coaches, but certainly where one coach and another coach were talking, and so it could be any kind of coach. But I opened it up a lot more to people. I like to say people who touch, move, and inspire others to action. So that could really take on all kinds of meetings. I love having people who are authors on my show. I've had many published authors, and one of the little perks in life, this is definitely a perk in life when I do this show, and I have an author on the show, is I get a free book.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a big stack of books I've gotten to read, and from people who have desired to be on my show. And that's really terrific. And I have publishers who contact me and say, when can I have my person on your show? And that's been really exciting.
Are there any words of advice that you would give somebody who's considering starting a show?
Well, the number one word of advice, or the number one piece of advice, is get started. The biggest thing that I did was I got started. I was on somebody else's show, and it, you know, it took me a little while, but the moment I did it, I said, but this is really cool. I mean, can anybody do this? Yeah, anybody could do this. So getting started is number one. Find an idea, something you want to talk about. Start a show. You could start for free. You can have a free account on Blog Talk Radio. They will give you, I think, a 30-minute show. And, you know, they'll start you off at an odd hour until you have enough people listening. And then they'll open it up to better hours. Or you can also pay to have a premium account. They have different levels of premium accounts where you can have a much longer shows, 2 or even 3 hours, depending on your package. And you could and they give you a switchboard, and you can have all kinds of tools to promote your show. It's really great. It's really a great thing. That's my words of advice.
Karen in our chat room says, get coached. That's one of the top things to do.
Well, yeah, get coached. That's, you know, I could say, yeah, call Coach Andrew, and I will certainly be happy to help you get started.
Well, Andrew, it's been awfully wonderful to be here with you tonight. I really appreciate, again, your hosting all of us throughout the week and giving everybody a chance to be a part of your radio show and get a taste of what it could be to be famous for a few minutes. And I've really enjoyed talking with you and getting to know a little bit more about your story and what you do and who you are as a coach, too. I definitely will be connecting with you on social media.
Awesome.
And, yeah, do you have any last words for listeners?
Last words for listeners. Well, first of all, my last words will be, I want to give a thanks, a big shout-out to Biz Richmond and the Living Consciously Education Program, and especially to Karen Monteverdi for sponsoring the ICA Graduate Summit, for all the help and support, and for making this happen. So it's been huge. It's been a tremendous amount of fun and honor and privilege to have 5 amazing people as guests on my show. And this also moved me to some big action because I hadn't done a show in a little while, to be honest with you. And I've been wanting to say, okay, I'm ready to get back. Well, 6 shows in 12 days has definitely changed the bell curve for me.
Trial by fire, kind of.
Absolutely. So, you know, yeah. As George Costanza would say, I'm back, baby. I'm back. So I want to thank you, Jen. It's been great to talk to you now for 2 hours over out of our 6 shows. So interviewing you and you interviewing me and turning the tables has been a tremendous pleasure.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Andrew. And I have to say, doing the shows has gotten me interested in doing radio again. You know, I ran a show for several years, and I'm thinking very seriously about starting back up. So thank you for
awesome.
The impetus.
You're very welcome. And I want to thank everyone for listening, both now and in the future, in the year 2015. Boy, you missed a great 72-hour offer back then, by the way. Those of you in 2015.
Yeah,
and you could find me, Andrew Poritz, Coach Andrew, at www.myfuturecoach.com. You could follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/CoachAndrew. And, Jen, why don't you tell people again where they could find you?
Okay, great. Thank you. You can find me at kickasswebsitecoach.com. And I'm on Facebook as well, and you can look for my page there, which is the same. It's just Kick-Ass Website Coach.
Great, and anybody would like to subscribe to me on Facebook, I am facebook.com/AndrewPoritz. So we will be back very, very soon with some new Coach's Corner shows. I am, again, Coach Andrew, and I thank you for listening, and good night.